Hey, everybody, it's me, Jarrett, from the Rockstar Dad Show. Coming up this week on the program, Constantine Maroulis is going to be with us. Remember him from the American Idol show? He should have won, but, you know, that happens sometimes. This guy's busy, 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 and he's also a Rockstar Dad. He's also got a tour coming up this week on the Rockstar Dad Show.
This is a song for my friends Jarrett and Gary. They started a podcast and said a theme was necessary. They're just a couple of guys in a band that you know. Some rock star dads who started a show. So here's the next episode.
Oh yeah! Welcome to the Rockstar Dad Show. God,
I forget
we're
doing the new rockin' intro thing.
Man, we're so freaking pro. It's just not even funny. We're so money, it's not even money or something.
Is money your new thing? Are you going to be saying money now?
No, I just listened to a Jon Favreau podcast, though. And you were there, weren't you?
Is Jon Favreau a money user? Anytime I hear someone say money, I think of Guy Fieri.
Oh, no. Swingers is where that all started. Was Jon Favreau with what's-his-face, the tall guy that we met at the Grammys.
I know that in the movie he does that, but like on just his day-to-day podcast, whatever shit, does he say that?
I don't think so. No, okay. I think he's probably over. I don't really pay attention to him. I mean,
no?
I like that movie Chef and the superhero movies.
Didn't he do a thing like where just people have dinner and hang out and talk?
Oh yeah, that's like a really good show because it's like five famous dudes, but like from different areas. Like it'll be like a former president and Chris Rock, you know, and then like, you know, somebody else.
Yeah.
Like another guy.
Yeah. Sure.
like Sully, that guy that landed the plane or whatever. How does that even sound like you? No, off. ALEXA, like, she's just been misbehaving lately. I feel like it's got to be these aliens, you know?
So, you know, we just flew to this golf tournament in California this last week. And, man, it was fun. But Dave is really into this alien thing. And I'm not really keeping up with it, but you know, he's into it, and he mentioned it to us a couple of times about, you know, they've shut the airspace down and some news story or whatever. Well, on the way back, he and I were sitting on the same row, and there's an open middle seat between us, and it ended up getting taken over by, like, a pilot doing the, you know, deadheading home thing. And so whenever Dave and the pilot got to talking, he was like, so you seen any weird stuff up in the sky lately? And the pilot's like, no, I've never really seen anything that wasn't just an airplane.
Oh, man. That's so funny. Yeah, Dave is really... I mean, in fact, you know, Dave and I travel a lot together, just me and him, because we're doing this radio stuff for the country thing. And so Dave is our tour manager for Bowling for Soup, and he also is a tour manager and my booking agent for Jarrett Ray Reddick, which is my country stuff. And so he travels with us all the time, but this was for pleasure, but... he is so into this, and he has let me listen to a few podcasts where I'm just like, okay, that's pretty wild, you know, where like the guy is like, oh yeah, there's like a room that has like seven spaceships, and there's like this energy force, and we can't figure out what it is, and we don't know what the material is.
Is that the Bob Lazar guy?
That's him, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of podcasts with him, and man, it's some crazy shit.
It's crazy, and just, like, all the stuff with, like, their... I mean, it gets wild, because it gets into, like, his personal life, and his wife was cheating on him, and, like, the FBI or whoever, I don't know, CIA or who, was just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, sorry to hear this. You can't leave her, because you can't, you know, you can't disrupt anything. Like, this, your job is to be, like, you know, like, unseen. So...
That's like how he found out about his wife cheating on him, because they told him, but they're also like, and you can't do shit about it.
Yeah, you can't leave her, and you know, and it's, you know, you can't punch the guy in the face or anything like that.
That's probably not that guy's best day ever, you know?
You wouldn't think so. He's a pretty weird guy, you know? So, like, he's probably had some days that weren't all that great, but... Man, I mean, like, so, it's so crazy, that thing. Like, and I'll kind of give you guys a little Reader's Digest on, like, a few of the things, so if you don't want to go listen to it, because we actually listened to a few of them, but I don't listen to Joe Rogan, but we listened to the Joe Rogan one, and it was great. I mean, it was a really, really fine interview, but... There was a time where he did a year and his literal job was just trying to figure out, you know, what this energy source was from this piece of material that they have. And they've been working on it for like 60 years and they're not any closer. And everybody, you get a year shift. But the way that they keep information from going out is like everybody is given false information and non-false information all the time, and this is so confusing, but no departments are allowed to intermingle. So they pretty much know, like, if you leak that, hey, this piece of material, by the way, it's purple, they're like, well, A, no, it's not, and we know who thinks it's purple.
Right.
And then they just come and fucking probably just make you disappear and shit.
So there's a lot going on there. Like, that's kind of really smart to, like, give bad information to certain people, and then you're like, well, now we know where the leaks is coming from, right?
Right.
Leaks are coming from. But yeah. But then it's really weird because you have, like, some of the smartest people in the world working on this, but it's so compartmentalized that the other smartest people in the world are working on something else, but you can't get those two smartest people in the world to work together.
Right.
That's weird.
And that's part of the whole thing is that, like, they can't get any information from the other people, but they also, like, even some of the ongoing information isn't provided for them in what they're working on. So, like, but that's how much that they're trying to keep it secret. And what the crazy thing for me during the whole thing was, and again, look, you can believe all of this or you could not, you know what I mean? Like, you do what, I mean, it certainly seemed believable to me. And with everything else going on, I mean, I'm not really sure that there's a mothership hovering over Earth right now, which is what we were told the other day while you and I were drinking. And, you know, we were like looking at each other like, yeah, I don't know. But either way, you know, I don't know that there's a mothership. Maybe there is, though, you know. But that's the thing is, like, the people that don't have clearance to go see this stuff is wild. Like, you know, it's not like just some military guy can just go, hey, I'm in the military, I'm going to walk in there. They'd just be like, fuck you. And it's like, well, where do you guys get your power from? Nobody really knows. You know, like, well, who's giving you orders? I don't, that guy over there, his name's Steve, you know, like it's a crazy, crazy thing, man. But they have, you know, according to this guy, they have several different kinds of ships and, you know, full on alien bodies. And did you hear the story about the, this is going around now. There's a podcast and there's a documentary on it where there was an alien crash in this really small town. And apparently the aliens were just like around, and people in the town saw them and are just like, yeah, I mean, they were standing right there. They were scared shitless and they looked very, dilapidated, is that the right word? Like maybe that's not right, but like they were hungry and
emaciated,
that's it, yeah. And they were just like, they're really frail, and you know, they give these descriptions and everybody gives these same descriptions or whatever, and then it was just like, you know, the cavalry rode into town and all of a sudden it was just, you know, everything was gone. But that's a wild ride.
That's hard for me to believe if it were any time in like the past 10 years, because
it wasn't.
Okay, you're saying like back in the day.
No, I'm saying so like the little girls that saw it are now like in their 40s, you know, so it's like 30 years ago or something.
Okay,
like
so I could see how that could be swept under the rug. I was going to say, if it's in the past 10 years, that's on, you know, Facebook Live in 2 seconds.
Yeah, so I talk about this all the time, about how like, I just don't know how you keep anything secret anymore. You
nothing.
Know, like somebody, like, nothing. I mean, I just don't know. Like, even like making somebody disappear, like, for the most part, people are going to start talking about that. I just don't understand, like, how there could be like any sort of underground anything. Like, somebody's going to talk about it. And especially this day and age, like, somebody will have heard something. I mean, it's like, you know, like the whole Illuminati thing, you know, like, isn't that where there's a bunch of rich people that live in a thing in the ocean and they run everything? Is that what that is? Or am I, or is that the mob? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the mob. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The mermaid mob. They're crazy.
Yeah, they're nuts, man. By the way, you know, there's a whole section of the population that believe in mermaids, you know?
Well, you know, how can you believe in mermaids? Because now that we know that the earth is flat and that there's just this, like, this ridge around the right. earth, like, wouldn't the mermaids just be jumping out of, and, you know,
man,
that can't work.
Linus came to visit. And we went up to Broken Bow. I think we talked about that. And you go up to Broken Bow too. But Broken Bow, Oklahoma is this little spot that it's honestly, it used to be the best kept secret that we had here. And now it's like, it's going to get overdeveloped and probably lose its luster a smidge. But right now it's still great. As honestly, if you're going there just to kind of be in your cabin and get away and then go get some pizza, you know, it's fine, whatever. But
it's pretty great. But yeah, I'm with you. In a few years, it's probably going to be a bit too much, even right now, because everyone goes on like 3-day weekends, right?
Yeah.
So even now, like, getting into town on a Friday, like, you get into that small town and it's like an hour's traffic to get the last 30 miles. And same when you're leaving on Monday, it takes an hour to get out because it's not built up enough to handle how many people are coming in and out of town.
Yeah. And also, like, it used to be like all of the, they're these gargantuan places, but they all look like log cabins, and now they've modernized all of them, and they're cool looking, but now it just looks like the Hollywood Hills, you know? Like, there's just no real charm to it anymore. But as far as, like, the new stuff. But again, I digress. Anyway, so it's legal there, as with a few different places in the world now, to hunt Bigfoot. And they... and they've just capitalized on, and it's just the silliest, just the absolute silliest thing, but is the but most brilliant tourist thing in the world, because there's an ice cream place called, like, and I'm serious, it's like Chupacabra Boogers or something like that, and it's like, and kids want to go there because it's like, oh, it's like boogers from the Bigfoot guy, you know, and everywhere you go, there's just these Bigfoot shirts, and there's like little Bigfoot statues everywhere, and Linus was like, anybody ever seen a Bigfoot here? I'm like, I don't think so. I think we're just like, you know what, it's fucking legal, we'll just legalize it here too.
Yeah, well, you know, to me it's like, it's very helpful because, you know, it's like 2.5-3 hour drive to get there, mm-hmm. and, you know, with a 5-year-old in the car, that's like pushing the limits of, like, she's starting to get pretty restless by that last 30 minutes. And that last 30 minutes is where you're driving by those places and like, hey, look, there's a Bigfoot. Hey, let's play the game where whoever spots the next Bigfoot on the side of the road wins, you know, and what do you win? It doesn't matter, but you just win.
Yeah,
but anyway, so like that last 30 minutes, she's excited about spotting all these things.
You know, my method of getting a group of boys or girls to clean up a house after a night of activity where, like, you know, all the parents are hanging out and the kids have just wrecked the upstairs, I go up and I start giving the kids points for everything they clean up.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, that is great. You cleaned up all those games. That's 100 points. Oh, man. And they get so into it. They're like, what do we win? And that's the thing. I'm like, dude, don't you want to have the most points? Yeah, I do want to have the most points. And it works still. Like, the older boys now, I mean, it doesn't work on Jack anymore. He's 17. He's just like, no, I want to get my windows tinted. Yeah. Can I
now clean
the garage?
Now he's like, Dad, you can shove your points up your ass. Yeah,
just, I still have so many unaccumulated points. It's like all those tickets you have from Dave and Buster's you never cashed in. And, but it still works on the 10-year-olds. They're like, God, let's get way more points than the little kids. You're listening to the Rockstar Dad Show. We have to take a break. Coming up later in the show, Constantine Moriatis. Is that right? Did I do it right?
Put a tilde on there, but I think it's supposed to be there.
I think I made it more Spanish. It's great.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not strong with last names anyway. So I just call him Constantine because that's like what it was when he was on American Idol.
Yeah.
But this dude has a full-on tour coming up, and we'll be posting about that in the show notes. You guys should go see him. He was in the Rock of Ages on Broadway, and such a talented guy, but a really, really cool dude, too. So y'all are going to want to hang out and listen to that, but for now, listen to this. Welcome back to the Rockstar Dad Show. Don't forget, we're on Adobe Radio every single Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, and then on Wednesdays, wherever you listen to your podcast, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, and please, I did look, we had 69 reviews on iTunes when I looked the other day, which is awesome, but
that's like the magic number. You don't want more than that, but we also want a lot more than
we
that.
We want a lot more than that. The other day I was driving to Shreveport, and I went down there to do some recording. I recorded a country song with these with this studio down there. I'll give them a shout out, called Steel Records Studios, and we had a really good time. But on my way, there's this there's a truck stop that has obviously not been there for, I mean, it has to be 10, 15, 20 years. You know, it's because it's still got like the old sign that's way up in the air, but they have to like flip the number. So like somebody climbs up there and flips the number so that you know how much gas is. And like I said, this place is, there's no building left. It's just like a concrete foundation. But someone had the foresight to just leave all of the gas prices at 69. And so it just says 69, 69, 69, like when you drive by there. And man, is that funny when you're just by yourself and you've been on the road for about an hour and a half so far. And you're like, you know, kind of starting to get into everything. And you just kind of look over and you're just like, can you imagine the delight of the guy who was just like, man, one last thing I'm going to do before we go.
Yeah.
Where's that thing to reach the letters out? I mean, and it's fucking high, man. It's like way up there. So I don't even know how they do it. It's definitely not like electric or a remote control or anything. Somebody had to manually do it. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't say 69 anymore.
But how much joy in his life does he get just from like that still up there for right, however long later?
That's just it, right? Like, he could mention that because it's a small town and, like, he meets somebody that's in for the weekend, you know, like visiting his friends or whatever. He's, oh, hey, how's it going? Yeah, my name's Jim. Oh, how was the ride in? Did you notice anything? You know, did you see anything out there on the highway that you thought might have been really, really funny? You know, did you look up by chance when you made that turn into town?
Yeah.
And I
saw a short the other day. I think it was YouTube, maybe Facebook. I don't know. It was one of the little short skit things, but it was like, this is what it's like to be a junior high teacher. And she's like, okay, everyone, open your books to page 68.
Yeah.
And then we're on the next page. That's where we are. And, and then she's like telling a story. And you know, she was a, she played the piano.
Right.
And there's just all these scenarios of like, I can't say this. How can I word it?
That is so, yeah, because you can lose them in a heartbeat. You know, it's funny. My son's name is Jack. And so I would have to go in Texas. We say, like, if I were dropping Emma, I would say I dropped Emma off at a friend's, you know, I dropped Emma off at the movies. But
sure,
Jack's entire life, I took the word places. I had to take the word off out. So I dropped Jack at the movies. I dropped Jack at the friend's house.
Yeah, I took him to the.
I took him over there, you know,
yeah,
because you can't just go around saying jack off all the time.
Yeah.
This kind of humor reminds me of, you know, as Gary said earlier, we went to California and played in a charity golf tournament. In fact, we were the most famous people there. That's how celebrity this thing was. It's not really that celebrity, but a bunch of people in the music business, and it was hosted by Kevin Lyman, who created Warped Tour and tons of other stuff.
It was awesome, and I hope we get to go do it again next year. It was a blast.
Same. And but you know, we had a really great time, and the weather was perfect, and gosh, it was great. But we were on about probably our 16th hole, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I was very gassy that day. Like, I was just ripping farts. But one in particular, You know, and I'm not really that, you know, I don't really have a lot of golf ethics. You know, like, I don't really give a shit, but I am quiet and I'll stop walking when it's somebody's shot and, you know, all of those things. Because we take it seriously enough to, like, try most of the time.
Yeah, we do the polite things. Like you said, we're not trying to talk in someone's backswing, but at the same time, like, you get to your ball, you hit it. We're not waiting for furthest guy out and all that
right,
shit.
Exactly. But Marco, our merch guy, was up for a putt, and I just, like, let loose just this monster fart. And he was just like, oh, okay, right there. Well, I'm up here about to putt. And he lines up, and it's a full, like, 20-second delay. And he just snort dies laughing, like, and just can't even putt. And I'm just like, yeah, I just turned 51.
Yeah. You
know? Like,
he really tried to keep his composure for a good amount of time.
He really did. Like, I thought, oh my God, he's just not going to laugh at that. Like, and you and Dave had kind of already laughed you know, he just was going to not laugh at it. And then all of a sudden he just lost his composure laughing. And, but see, that just goes to show you, as our good friend Bubba once told us, Gary, fart equals funny.
Yeah. I've taught that to Mia. And now Mia, you know, with her little not so good on the R, she goes, farts are funny. Farts are funny.
Farts are funny. Yeah, that they are funny. You know, but there's a limit. So it's like, I wasn't allowed to fart in my house. Like, my dad didn't like farts for some reason. I don't know. I mean, you take that and run with it. Whatever.
I mean, to me, that's just such a weird, like, the rules coming from your dad.
I know. Yeah.
Most houses, I'd be like a mom rule.
Well, that's just it, right? But we weren't allowed to burp or fart. And so, you know, we didn't. But, you know, I mean, I fucking think farts are funny. But I don't like that. You know, don't fart at the table. And so now Everett is to the age where he's 10, so he will just rip a fart anytime. And now I have to make the rule, like, okay, buddy, we're just not going to do it in front of your mom anymore. Like, it's like, give your mom a break. Like, she does not want to be crop dusted all the time. Like, walk over there and do it. You know, yeah. She is a lady after all. You know, it's funny when they're like 6. Yeah, but he's 10. He has full control over it. You know, the kid can go over there and do, you know, that. And she was very thankful that I enacted that. And I don't, I don't just rip in front of her because she doesn't think farts are funny. And which is weird because she, like, my wife is really, really fucking funny, as you know, and she likes Family Guy and she likes Seinfeld, but she just doesn't get the fart thing.
Yeah, that doesn't add up. I mean, she's got a great sense of humor.
Amazing.
What's the deal with the farts?
I don't know. Does Anique think farts are funny?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Not all the time?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. There's times where it's like, ooh, gross. But a lot of the times it's just, you know, we're just laughing at farts over here.
Yeah. Your family laughs at farts, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Our family too. But yeah, not Casey, not so much. Well, and of course, in previous life, of course we didn't. But, you know, anyway, I don't know. Farts are fucking funny, man. You know, as George Carlin said, farts are shit without the mess.
Yeah.
You know, we had this friend in the UK. I'll give her a shout out. Mish, who used to help with our fan club. And she had the best idea for an album title. Art with an F.
I forgot about that.
And it is so funny and good, you know, like... Man, I named their band Bunt Cake, which is a great name for a band. You know, I don't know why anybody hasn't taken that. By the way,
you named their band, but they didn't really start a band, right?
I know. That's so this is one of those things that I do, Gary. I give away shit to people who aren't. It's the reason why, honestly, it's the reason I stopped writing songs with other bands. Because we go and we write this fucking jam and it's dope. And then they're just like, yeah, I don't think we're going to record that. And I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with it?
Yeah.
One time me and you were drunk at a Chili's and you were like, let's just fucking go record all those songs. Like, let's just shitty songs Jarrett wrote that nobody else wanted, you know? And yeah. I was like, this is a fucking great idea. We're going to do this.
We call like D-sides.
Yeah. You know. I do still think, and I've tried to get multiple people to do this with me. multiple like super groups or just like friends or whatever. But you and I have talked about it a time or two. But I still think the whole like literally going into a weekend, it may be a long weekend, 4-day weekend with no material, and you come out of there on Monday with a record. Like literally like while drums are going, like the next song's being recorded and we're working out shit. You're like, what about stops here? This, this, this. And like just literally a machine, yeah. You know?
It's not one where you go in and you're like, okay, we're going to have 13 songs. It's just like, I don't know. Maybe it's six, maybe it's 10. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But also like it's simplify the production could be like, no, we got to move on, man. We do not have time for B3 in this. We don't have time for it.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Our guest, Constantine, who, man, I've known since, man, it's been a real long time. I met him when we were out doing radio shows for one of our records.
I was going to say we were doing those, you know, like when we were doing the radio shows at all the tweeter centers and stuff
like that.
Yeah,
that. And he and I, you know, hit it off and talked for a while and thought he was a cool dude. And then he was at Ryan and Alexa Bliss's wedding, Ryan Cabrera. Oh, I did say at that time, nothing. Alexa. No, I don't want you. Alexa, off. My God, see how she is these days? Like, she just talks back?
She goes off on you. You know, my Alexa is, like, she's pretty chill. Yeah. But my Siri on my watch is just always trying to chime in, and I didn't ask her to.
Which is worse, when they chime in or they ignore you?
You know, it's always kind of funny and frustrating, but it's funny when you're like playing golf and everyone's like, yeah, that shot sucked. And she's like, it sure did. You know, yeah. Shut up. I didn't ask. But it's kind of like it's insulting when you're like, hey, you know, text so-and-so and it's just not spinning.
That, all of a sudden she just does. Oh, you can't hear me, but you can hear me when I ask if we've got, you know, chips for the salsa. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, because every room in our house has one, and I've got it finally figured out. I mean, it took me a year to so that one wouldn't listen to the other. So, like, you wouldn't ask one for one thing, and, like you'd be, like, in the kitchen, say, you know, play Frank Turner Radio, and it'd just start playing in the bathroom upstairs, and then it can't hear you, so you can't turn it off. You know, you got to learn all the language of, like, hey, kitchen one, tell the bathroom one to turn off. You know?
There's definitely a learning curve, and I think if you're over a certain age, you're just never going to get it because, like, you know, the grandparents come over to our house, and they're just like, Alex, well, what is, should I, how about, do we need laundry detergent? And you're like, okay, first off, you have to say a straight sentence, and that's not really the right question to ask it, you know.
She doesn't come in here and inventory the house.
Right.
Like, she helps you restock after you inventory the house.
Yeah, if you need to know how many teaspoons are in a gallon, perfect question, right?
Man, Rich, who used to host Jarrett Goes to the Movies with me, would come in my house all the time and just be like, Alexa, order toilet paper. Toilet paper ordered. Charmin Ultra Strength or whatever will arrive Wednesday, blah, blah, blah. And he just got the biggest kick out of it. And I really did think it was funny. But now I feel like she doesn't really listen to everybody else. You know, pretty much you got to live here. Otherwise, she shunned you for a while. But
voice recognition kicked in.
Yeah, which it should. But it's, you know, if you have a high voice, like Rob's ones all listen to me. So like if I'm talking to my device, this is so stupid. But because I feel like I'm cheating because I have both Siri and Alexa, you know, and I don't want them to find out about one another because there's no telling what would happen.
Do you sometimes go over to someone else's house and they have like the Google one, and you're like somehow jealous, but also like think that yours is superior at the same time? Like it's a weird thing.
Yeah,
I don't need that, but I want. I don't know. It's weird.
I'm so glad you brought this up because I don't know why that's like that. Like why do Apple people like and PC people like, why can't you just have what you have? And like, but like, you know, I've told you this before and I can't take credit for this, but one time the Davey, you know, there's three guys in the band Freshman 15 named Davey, but is the one that sang, and he comes up to me and he goes, Oh man, I just got a text from somebody with green text. I just always feel so bad because I'm just like, man, it must suck to be that poor. You know, like, and so I use that joke all the time, but I word it differently. And, but it is true. It's like, you see somebody with green text and you're like, God damn it. It's, you know, you can't do, cause we start talking about all the stuff that you can't do, right? Cause we have the blue ones. And so it's like with our friend, David Dooley, when we're doing a golf outing, it's just like, okay, we had a group text going, but David Dooley fucking blew it. And now I have to text all of you individually, you know? And, but it's really weird how that is like that, where people are like, well, I have Alexa, well, I have Google Nest and I have this and I have the Echobee thermostat, you know? And, yeah. But I do think all my shit is the best.
Yeah. Well, you bought it, right?
I did buy, I don't know. I think the one thing about, Alexa is just that it's so seamless through all of the stuff. But you know, what the fuck? Plus it hooks up really, really nicely to Sonos speakers. And,
she's trying to make herself even more, streamlined, where like now just, you know, we have one in the kitchen. It's by the sink. So like, I'll be doing the dishes. Maybe she hears me there. I don't know. But she's just like, hey, thinking of all these other purchases you've made, you might like this one. Should I order it for you?
My God, no. Okay. So that's when she and I get into a tiff. I don't like that. Don't ask me that. I don't want you to suggest products to me. Also, I wish the when it's yellow, you know, and it's like you got the alerts, but she won't do anything else because you haven't asked for your alerts yet. And you're like, yeah. I already brought them in from the, you know, everything else. You don't know I brought these in already. You know, like I don't need to hear that there's four packages. I know. I just picked them all up.
Yeah.
You know,
I've already sent two of them back.
I was going to introduce Constantine, but now we have to go to a commercial. So, you guys listen to this. We'll be right back with more Rockstar Dad Show coming up with Constantine right after this. Welcome back to the Rockstar Dad Show. And, man, Gary, I told you, I said we've got Constantine Morales coming in, and I am freaking stoked. This man was on the arguably the best season ever of American Idol. He's a Tony Award nominee. He's like Broadway star, rock star, movie star, this guy. Constantine Morales, how are you, man?
What's up, boys? How are you? Jarrett, good to see you, mate.
Good to see you, too.
Gary, nice to meet you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, we're glad you're here. You know, you and I have run into each other several times over the years. And then, you know, of course, back when Bowling for Soup, we're doing the whole radio shows and stuff like that. You were kind of touring as a American Idol alum. So we played a bunch of shows together back then. And, it's good. But you know, I follow you on the socials and you're a rock star dad. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. And I'm a big fan. So it's awesome to
Thanks,
be here.
Man.
And, yes. I'm the, lucky, girl dad of a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Sixth grader, living in New Jersey now. I left the city a few years back to raise her in the country suburbs of North Jersey here.
Right.
And we're having a good time. We're off this week. This is like a winter kind of break.
Okay. Yeah. So you were actually born somewhere in the city, Brooklyn, mm-hmm. right? And then,
yes.
But grew up in New Jersey?
Yes. Yes. Born in Brooklyn. In the mid-70s.
Yeah, that's okay. You know what? Age isn't a thing anymore. It's
that's
like,
true.
It's really weird. It's like, I, you know, because I'm 50 years old and like, kids don't bat an eye anymore at it. Like, it's really right. strange. And it's like, I remember like when I was turning 30, like I'd be embarrassed to tell people like, yeah, you're born in 72, you know, and now kids are just like, they just, you know, I don't know.
You still feel like a kid, right? Except 100%. For when you wake up in the morning and you're like, I got to move a little bit slower.
Yes.
Exactly. The moving part is where right. you feel it, but everything else, I'm fine.
Movement.
I'm 47. So she came as a bit of a surprise.
Okay.
You know, I had been on Broadway. I was planning on taking my big show, Rock of Ages, out on the road for a couple of years, tear it up, and then maybe settle down. You know, I kind of had like these, kept having these little big bumps in my life and my work career and such. And then she came along as a bit of a surprise. And of course, I was thrilled, and it's been the greatest role ever to play in my career and in my life. But we were doing the New York City thing for a while, and it just made more sense to have a yard and have a great school I can depend on. And yes, I grew up out here predominantly. Mm-hmm. My, you know, the late 70s in Brooklyn was sort of the Saturday Night Fever era of BK. And it was tough. It was a tough neighborhood. It was a tough town. And obviously it's changed so much since then. I mean, mm-hmm. some of the neighborhoods people live in now, I can't believe they live in.
Right. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I was like, what? You wouldn't even walk down the street there. But
Dallas is the same. You know, it's there are like the really, really nice ritzy parts, artsy parts are, you know, the places where like you know, that's where they used to film Dallas SWAT. You know, like it
seems like both cities have the areas that are the up and coming, but then they have the areas that just kind of go up and down, right?
Yeah,
for sure. For sure. I love the Big D. It's always great to get a chance to go through there or between Houston as well. I felt like the last time I was in Dallas, I started to see a little bit more of that Houston, Austin kind of like those kind of neighborhoods coming. Like popping up too, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely, well, what's happening here is that everybody from California is moving to Texas because we don't have state income tax.
That's true, yes.
And so it's just been a flood of people, but you know, we're an accepting bunch here, you know, and we've got foo-foo coffee places for them and stuff. So
you need that. You need the foo-foo. You need some foo-foo.
Gotta have. You know, the thing about it is I think most people became aware of you on the season of American Idol, season 4.
Season 4, yes. Carrie Underwood, yeah.
Carrie Underwood won. Bo Bice, you're still in the top 10 on probably the toughest fought, hardest season. You know, I mean, and that's when that show was just so massive. Like every single it was like the I Love Lucy of that, you know, of that year. Like every single house had it on, you know.
Yeah. And every night was like the MASH finale, basically.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. But you know, the thing is that I did not know about you was you were already successful in your own right, doing what it is you do best, and that is on the stage. You were in the touring company of Rent as the lead before you ever even went on that show.
Yes, and you know, I grew up as a musical theater kid, just loving everything from West Side Story to Jesus Christ Superstar, and I trained at the Boston Conservatory, Berklee College of Music, long time ago. You know, at Williamstown as an apprentice, very prestigious theater festival every summer. In fact, I was there the summer I was there. I was there with like Chris Pine and all these people that really blew up. Like we all kind of blew up. It was crazy. And then, yes, I booked Rent and I was touring with Rent for I went to Japan and I played in a band. And then I just kind of needed a job and I needed a gig because they're like, yeah, we're not bringing you back next year. Thanks.
Ah. Okay.
Because Rent was such a young cast, they would turn it over, especially in the Broadway tour. So I just needed a job. So I think, you know, part of that Rent mentality where I had gone on some open calls for that were Madhouse. I don't know if you remember that back in the day. They used to do these like publicity stunt, you know, this a little pre-internet stuff. These open calls where thousands of like rockers would show up to be in Rent and all.
Right.
And it was pretty cool, but I ended up getting cast the right way when I met the director at Williamstown, and then I just needed a job, so I went into the Idol experience like a hungry artist, like yeah, I've been working, and remember they had just upped the age a little, so
yeah,
I think I was 28 at the time, you know, and a young 28.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, is what you brought to the show, and I remember this vividly because me and my family were watching all the time, and you know, you certainly had that fire about you. You brought in like a personality. Mm. There was just a fire that you had that nobody on the show had really had before. You'd had Kelly come on, and she was adorable and, you know, and that, and then, you know, you and everybody had kind of done their thing. But when you came on, it was like, this guy is a presence, and you could just, you could tell that you were, and that you, they just loved you, you know, from the start.
Well, I think, well, thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot to me coming from you, but I, you know, I think I had been in a big touring show. I mean, Rent was the Hamilton of the era. I mean,
100%.
We were all over TV all the time in every market I would go to, and I had done interviews. I had played, you know, so I had a savvy. I trained at a great school. So to me, it felt like a progression of in my career. Like it was like, okay, now I'm going for my doctorate here, my double master's at, you know, so it was like, now's the time to apply all those life experiences and the things that I knew. So I was savvy, but the key was like, not trying to be like too savvy, tried to be like cool, but like also like,
yeah,
I don't know, charming and like whatnot. But, you know, they really had the sort of latches on me too. Back then we couldn't really, until that season really took off, you couldn't get songs that you wanted because people were still reluctant. Like, I don't want my song on that show.
Yeah.
And then not until well into my season, I did Bohemian Rhapsody out of nowhere. And long story short, like it was the first time we saw like a digital spike in like the original album of A Night at the Opera by Queen. And it was like, everyone's like, take my song.
Right.
Even if you
F
it up.
Yeah.
It's great for us.
That's such a, what a funny thing to think about from American Idol of like not being able to get the songs clear. So to the listener, you know, basically like they can't just do any song they want. That song has to be cleared. And basically, you know, given permission to be able to be on the show, and they work all that out. And that's a bunch of behind the scenes bureaucracy shit. But, you know, but it's so funny to think about you being on the season with Carrie Underwood and you and Bo Bice, and y'all can't get songs cleared. And now Kiss goes on the show. You know,
right.
It's so ridiculous. It's what a juxtaposition that is.
I mean, they were figuring out stuff as we went along. Those first two or three seasons, I mean, they had like folding tables and they were using like tracked bands and stuff. And then it was just like, oh, 30 million people a night are watching this. Right. Like, I remember like Nigel Lithgow, Ken Warwick, the executive producers, longtime executive producers of the show, who were incredible. They were incredible at what they did. They, with Simon and Fremantle, I mean, they created an incredible vehicle. They were like picking out Rolls Royces. Like, I remember they were like, oh, this one, I'll buy you one too. No shit. They were doing this. Like,
that is hilarious.
Like,
right.
Rich.
Yeah.
They're killing it.
Yeah.
So we just had TV gold. I don't know, guys, if we'll ever see that. I mean, that, you know what was great about it for me? And we've all had a lot of success in different things since then.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my first cousin in the World Trade Center, right? Not to bring the thing down, but, and that was my last year at Boston. And I thought like everything was gonna just end.
Yeah.
And then I realized, I'm like, this is what I do. I need to bring my family together. I need to bring people together, like with entertainment and performance and theater and escape. And so then I get Rent and then the Idol thing. And then the Idol thing like brought my whole family unit back together, because we were torn apart over that. I mean, my first, his name was Constantine, you know, that's in the Greek faith, like, you know, we're very close. So
I was gonna say, you just from everything that I've read about you and just know about your culture, you know, it's you're a close-knit family group, you know.
Sure,
it's you're very, very close, and first cousins is, you know, that those are brothers
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And so every knowing families were like getting together to watch the show, not just mine, but all over the country, all over the world. People were watching our season all over the world. We would get messages. I mean, it was so big. And I don't know if we'll ever see that again. That, like,
yeah,
you know, that sort of like, what do they call it? Must see TV or something, where like the whole family gets together and And it was a little pre, you know, social media and all of that stuff. It was very much so.
And no streaming. There was no streaming. You had four channels or cable. Right. That was it. Yeah. And there you were, as you're saying. But man, don't downplay also the fact that like Rent was equally as groundbreaking for so many reasons. I mean, you talk about like bringing hope to people or awareness about things, or you know, yeah. I mean that was a very, that was a very important production,
for sure.
You know, and not only just because of the content about, but the way that they approached the music in it, and just the way that it was done. As you said, I thought that you're comparing it to, you know, that generation's Hamilton was really good, because you're right. Like, my kids walk around singing Hamilton songs to this day. And back then you had, you know, 1,305,000.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, everybody just sang that song all the time.
And still do. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, still do to this day. Yeah, I mean, goodness gracious, what a
start.
Well,
yeah, it certainly broke the mold of what theater could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it comes out in 96.
Yeah.
And originally, and you know, the composer died before the opening night of its off-Broadway debut.
Wow.
So then, and everyone thought he died of AIDS. He didn't die of AIDS. He actually had like a brain aneurysm. And you know, he wrote the show about all of his friends. If you saw Tick Tick Boom, which was like with Andrew, who was one of the Spider-Men,
Garfield?
Garfield,
yeah.
Did Tick, Tick, Boom, that Lin-Manuel, talk about crossing streams, Lin-Manuel Miranda directed the movie version of Tick, Tick, Boom. If you see that, it's sort of a show within a show within a show, quite literally.
Yeah.
And he wrote Rent about all of his real friends, you know? Yeah. So Tick, Tick, Boom is about him kind of writing Rent. So anyway, it's interesting stuff. It was a great piece. And then later, you know, with Rock of Ages,
I don't think there is
a Rock of Ages without a Rent. There's probably not a Hamilton without a Rock of Ages, like where you have to eventually, every decade or so, you have to break the mold of what like theater can be, you know? And right now, I don't know. I think Broadway's in an interesting place coming out of the pandemic. And, you know, you have like the long running shows still crushing it. But the new stuff is having a harder time grabbing hold of like an audience, you know? So, it'll be interesting what happens over the next couple of years.
You know what I find interesting, and you could probably give us some insight into this, but I listened to the, Smartless podcast, and Sean Hayes is on that, and he's in production for a new Broadway thing that's going to start, but it takes a year of like rehearsals and all of this to get it going. Is that normal?
So there's there is no direct path. There's no exact, you know, like just checklist. But okay, you have the Hugh Jackman sort of like vehicle where it's like Hugh Jackman's available. He wants to do Music Man. We're
going
to, you know, attach the director, the choreographer, the other star. We'll put them in a rehearsal for, a couple of months. And then we're going to just open that bitch up.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
You know, because it's Hugh Jackman and they're going to do $3 million, $4 million in tickets a week.
Right.
But some would say maybe, you know, that wasn't like the greatest, you know, so like the greatest way to do things. But so there is the fast track when you have a gigantic star like that.
Because he can't commit, you know,
He's not
going to
go out
of
town and tour it for a year and work out the kinks and make changes and go into long preview period. You know, that's just none of that's going to happen.
He goes, here's the time I have, right? Here's the time I have. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
You got to get it up, you know? Yeah. And sure, I'm sure they did like closed door, like workshops and presentations, you know, with certain invited people and the feedback, you know, but basically that shit went and open right on Broadway.
Right.
That is like 1% of the time.
Okay.
And then you have like this, you know, with plays, like dramas or comedies, not musicals, plays, you have another situation like that, where it's like often, you know, the big money maker are these like revivals of like All My Sons or, you know, Death of a Salesman or something like that. And you attach the stars to that. that also, we know the play works. It's a great play. We're not changing it. You might change it conceptually. You might make it a black family. Like there's a production of Death on right now with a black family, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but that doesn't like change what the play is. So right. Like you go into rehearsal day, open it with a musical, you know, it's so rare. Like you write a show and it just opens on Broadway. You know, you do a series of concerts. You have, you know, you have different readings, different productions. You go out of town, usually to like a, you know, La Jolla Playhouse or let's say Houston, the Alley Theater. Mm-hmm. I've opened a show at the Alley Theater that opened on Broadway later. Like you kind of get that, you build a collaboration, a relationship with like an out of town theater that co-produce. Maybe they pick up some of the cost of the production through their nonprofit. Like there's just so many things. Or like you open at, you know, Fifth Avenue in Seattle, or the Neil Diamond piece. That was like, okay, this bitch is opening on Broadway.
Right.
We're going to go to Boston for like 3 months and mm-hmm. preview it mm-hmm. and then open it. You know, it didn't really change much, but it's like you have the Neil Diamond show that's opening. Like right. we know it's opening. Mm-hmm. And then you have a backlog of, there's only 30 theaters
really
on Broadway or mm-hmm. so, right? And they all have, you know, there's basically three owners for all of them.
Wow. Right?
And then you have like, think of like Hamilton, Wicked, Phantom. I mean, all these shows that are never closing. Well, Phantom sure. is like announced a closing, but they're like killing it now. So they'll probably just keep extending, but they've been around 30 years. Lion King is never closing. Aladdin is like never closing. Sure. You know, so then all of a sudden there's like 10 theaters, you right. know? So then it's like, when do you have your finances ready? Because that's about it too. You need 10, 20 million
yeah
to open a show proper. You know you have massive costs, union costs, you know, the rental of a theater. To get into a theater, like you need like 10 million cash.
Wow.
You know, and that's no joke. Yeah. Even with Sean Hayes attached to it, you know, yeah. and people like that. So there's no real direct way, but it starts in the rehearsal room. It starts mm-hmm. with the writers. It starts with a great director, you know, and you know, more and more people like, you know, Florence from Florence and the Machines, she's yeah. writing, it just got announced today
yeah.
that she's writing this Gatsby thing.
Wow.
With like a dream woman team, like the dream choreographer, director, writer. They're opening at ART in Cambridge, which is like super bougie. Like, you know, like
yeah.
that's like coming to Broadway. Like, you know, like they'll make room for that at some point. But they're saying that it probably won't be opening in ART till 24 and won't come to Broadway till 25. So we're talking about 25 already.
Wow.
2025 we're
right.
talking about.
Yeah.
Because it's just scheduling, man. Yeah. Like it's just, you can't say my show's ready. I need a theater. What's up? You know,
yeah.
you want to open, and I'm sorry to keep babbling, but you want to open in that window, ideally, like right before the Tonys, in that like February, March, April mm-hmm. 20s, April 22, 23, 24 is usually the cutoff right. for consideration of, let's say, like the 2022, 2023 year.
Right.
So then otherwise you're in the next year, and yeah. then you're like the first show that opened for like 23, 24, and people right. forget about you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's all that is timing, right? It's like, it's the same
timing,
with,
man. It's just like, dude, it's just like records, you know, that,
yeah, 100%.
You know, there's certain times like you want to put your song out and when you want to tour. Now, I mean, coming out of the pandemic, everyone toured at once, right?
So exactly. Like, yeah.
How the fuck am I going to tour when everyone else is touring?
We still can't get a bus. It's crazy. Like there's just, sure. there's no tour buses. It's just, It's unbelievable. It's crazy. We're talking to Constantine Morales, and so what's your daughter's name?
Milena,
and
it's Morales, but that's okay. Everyone thinks it's Morales.
I am so sorry.
Morales is such a common.
It's very Spanish sounding.
Yes.
Yeah,
but I'm Greek. Not
you're Greek, exactly. Well,
but she, my baby, my daughter is her mother is half Hispanic. So yeah. She's got a lot of flavor.
Yeah. Thank you for correcting me on that. Oh, but I you know, did they say it right? In a minute? Did Ryan Seacrest nail it when he would say, no, you just went by Constantine.
I corrected him, but I think he said Morales. You know?
No, you were like Madonna. You just went by Constantine, didn't you? You just named it.
It took a long time for that name to be like something that worked for me.
Yeah.
Growing up, like leaving Brooklyn and growing up in like the affluent white suburbs of North Jersey.
Sure.
I might as well, you know, who knows? I mean, they were like, Consta, what?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. Dean. In Greek, it's Gostandinos is my name. So everyone just called me Dean. My mother kind of shortened it. So everyone still from that part of Jersey calls me Dean.
Right. Well, that's probably, that makes sense. Like, we don't, anybody that has three syllables to their name, we shorten it. You know,
let that's Connie. Just... Everyone on Broadway became Connie. Everyone just started calling me Connie for the last 20 years. So,
yeah.
So you've got so much different stuff going on. You've got, you know, you've had TV with American Idol, Broadway, touring, all this different stuff. What phase of life, what's going on whenever your daughter was born?
Oh gosh, that was, I was on tour, took Rock of Ages out on tour, and she was born like on a 2 week layover for Christmas.
Yeah.
And it was rock and roll, man. You know, I would see her every few weeks or so in the first few months. It was tough, not seeing like your little newborn. But you know, it's interesting, by the time I came home from tour, she was like, you know, one plus and kind of a little person already.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable how much she's grown. She's like, you know, she looks like a little Cindy Crawford already. I'm done. I'm screwed. It's over. And she's 12. Yeah. And, you know, but thank God, you know, I come from a long line of educators, and we've worked with her from day one. Like, she loved books. She would eat books. She would literally eat books.
Yeah.
And so she's very smart, and not like a gifted kid. Like, I have friends with like these gifted kids that are just, it's unbelievable how smart they are. They just can just do math without even it's unbelievable.
Right.
But maybe they have some social stuff. That's a, she works very hard. She's got like the top, you know, grades. She's on the high honor roll in a tough school. She plays multiple sports and dances. She's kind. And, but I think that, you know, her mother and I have been through a lot mm-hmm. of ups and downs. That's been in the news, you know, tumultuous times, but we've never been as close as we are now as friends. Like,
right.
You know,
you guys are good co-parents, but your relationship
is
not.
We always have been, but behind the scenes we were hurting, and it was mm-hmm. tough for a long time. But,
now, were you guys together? You said that she was a bit of a surprise. Were you guys together at the time?
Well,
and you don't have to get as this, just so you
have
know.
You heard, exactly. Have you heard the term showmance?
Oh yeah, of course. So you guys were in a production together.
She was in Rock of Ages with the original company. Her mom.
Yeah.
I kind of had like the ideal Greek wife in Philly that I always thought I would marry, who was like in business school, a little younger than me. I'm like, when she moves to New York, we'll get together. I got a little time.
Yeah, right.
And then it's like, boom, I'm pregnant. I'm sorry. What's your name? Yeah. No, it wasn't that.
No,
but
I get it.
It was like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So not the way I ever envisioned it at all, but I'm so grateful because, you know, my father was quite ill. His last 10 years of his life was not great, not comfortable for him, and it was tough for everybody. But he got to meet and know Malena, even though he had been like bedridden at the time. He got to know her pretty well up till she was nearly 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she has strong recollections of him, and I'm so grateful for that, because my brother and sister don't have children. They're just like these insane workaholics. They've had long time either spouses or partners, and they don't have children. So like, I'm the bum who's like not married with like a kid out of wedlock. And but I'm so grateful that my father got to know that at least one Marulis is going to, like, you know, carry the name on at some point.
Right.
But yeah, so that was a good thing. And I mean, she is like a mini me. Unfortunately, she looks kind of just like me, and we both look like Cindy Crawford. No, I,
you do have a Cindy Crawford thing about you.
I need like the.
You need the thing. Mark. Yeah. Is she into, so yeah, I have seen a lot of pictures of you doing being the sports dad and that stuff. And is she into music at all? Theater?
She is. She is. It's not like a passion of hers. It's funny, you know, she was in like whatever magazines when she was born and all of this kind of stuff. When magazines mattered, and you know, so the agent always sort of, in like the youth department, always loved her and thought about her and would always look for opportunities for her. And we've been with her all these years, and she knows Milena is actually a very good actor. She's very, very gifted at doing like a very dramatic scene on tape. And she's not like the singer. She's can move well. She sings, you know, fine, but she's a gifted actor because like she's able to kind of come to that like very honest, like just conversational place and just listen. Yeah. And that's really, especially on camera, like that's like so much. And she understands like eye lines and this and that. And so her tapes are great, but we're very selective. And we've been up for a couple of things for her and it didn't work out. And that's okay because like she's way into school, way into sports. She's not very passionate about it, but she's good at it. And she somehow understands that like parents would kill to have someone looking after opportunities like she has, like the agent and such. And so she gets that. It's funny. I mean, remember we had like a big meeting with like Disney a few months back, and after school, she's like, I don't want to go. I just want to kind of go hang out with my friends. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Good.
And that was just, you know, like, we're not going to make it. And they were like, wow. Okay. But then they were like, well, can they Zoom with her, this and that? I think we did the next week, but which is never cool. Like people trying to cast off Zoom is tough.
Sure.
And it's so rare they want to see you in person right now because of everything. But so she's kind of like, you know, maybe she'll find it later on. I think if like we booked like a Netflix thing or something, and we'd have to really look at it and be like, shit, they want to take her out of school. She's got the next Stranger thing. I mean, it's like, you know, how do you not take a look at those opportunities?
Sure.
But she's not like, I want to be, I mean, when I was 12, I was like singing Jesus Christ Superstar, like every part in my room, dancing, singing, yelling, screaming, acting, belting, rocking. It's nowhere near that. Like she doesn't even think about it.
Yeah.
You know, so she happens to just kind of have that tool. But I think like when I teach and I work with young artists and hopefuls, like I tell them, like, look, you know, the reality is pretty much none of you are going to star on Broadway, you know, and I don't mean to be a jerk, but what I will say is this: let's just get better today. Okay. And I promise you the things that we work on, you can apply to everything and anything in life. Yeah. And my entire class at the Boston Conservatory, everyone was so talented. I'm basically the only one still working.
Wow. You know,
everyone has found different paths in life. Yeah. In life.
In the industry
some just not. I shouldn't say the only one, but pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's you know, it's not unlike being in music. I mean, let's face facts. You know, we go back to the radio shows we were doing together in 2004 and 5. How many of those artists are still even making music? You know,
I know, it's
not really the way that the world works.
It's that with just about everything. Like I talk with my son all the time. He's super into sports, you know, and it's like, well, you know, how many college kids make it to a pro level? How many high school kids make it to college? Right. How many little league kids get to play in high school? You got to just work to make it to the next level with that insight and focus. But the first step's getting to the next level.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been watching
this this sort of making of the XFL like 3.0 with The Rock and all that. And actually, they've done some good. I thought they had some good games the other day. I'm a sports freak, and I thought there was some good stuff. And the making of it, like The Rock did a great job, like, you know, talking about his dream to be in the NFL and how he had to pivot and this and that. And when you see these, I mean, these kids were all the gods.
Mm-hmm.
Of yeah. their high school, of their towns,
right?
Top recruited, big colleges,
mm-hmm.
and it's like now they're like struggling to make a U.S. An XFL camp
right.
or team to make like a league minimum. It's so hard, and it's really hard to do what we do too. The only saving grace is I feel like everything is just content now. So there's mm-hmm. always music. There's always I mean, every commercial is like a freaking Broadway show now.
100%. So, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think it's just like we'll always have that and need that. But I encourage them to find within the arts this gorgeous, gorgeous galaxy and community. There are so many things. Like, don't try to, we're so focused on being stars because of really Idol, mm-hmm. then socials. And
yep.
certainly TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if we don't get the likes and it's like hot or not, if we don't get the likes and the follows and the viral
mm-hmm.
and we want to get there fast and shit, even the Idol type shows are just casting straight up people that have social media following now. It's not like they're going to wait on, you know, it's even that is fast tracking itself.
Yeah.
It's
actually kind of sad. I managed a band that was so great, and they were young girls, and they were amazing. And when, I'm not going to say the show, but when we were up for this, and we were, you know, it was going to happen, but it was like, let's talk about hardships in their life. And it's like, well, they don't have any hardships in their life. They're just suburban white girls who really don't, you know, they're just living their life and playing music and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, yeah, it's not really that interesting. They'd like any of them get bullied or like, did any parents have cancer, you know? And it was just like, what? Like, why can't they just be a girl band that is talented and just does right. what they want to do, you know? And
is their dad anyone famous?
Exactly. Anything like that. Right. It was just, but
tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, even back with the Idol, I needed, my story was, they didn't even want to play up that I was in a Broadway show.
Right.
They wanted to play up that I was like the badass rocker from Brooklyn who right. left his band to come and audition for Idol. And then if, not that you remember, but like basically they spent the entire premiere episode of season one.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing was they used to shoot it so different because it was on from like January to June back then. It
yeah.
was the Death Star. And the right. television schedule
mm-hmm.
three nights a week. So like as the premiere episode was on, I was taping Hollywood Week. I was out there. So like, I remember watching it with a bunch of hopefuls and they're like, this motherfucker's the entire, sorry.
Yeah. First. No, you're fine.
It is the entire episode.
You were. I'm telling you.
And they like came to Brooklyn to my studio and like broke up with my band and on camera. Whatever. So it's like you that was my in, right? So
right.
but you needed to have like Carrie Underwood had like never left her little one horse town in Oklahoma and like never mm-hmm. been on an airplane and you know, they you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so that and then nowadays it's like everyone's like crying and this. Look, that's all great. What I tell them is like there's such a rich world around it with design and production management and mm-hmm. publicity and front of house and stagecraft and teaching and non-for-profit and whatever. It's endless. And all this work is going to serve you later,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. with finding the right career path. And yeah, like I'm into sports. I'd rather them be like Brett Gardner, who was like this scrappy Yankee kind of always like the extra outfielder guy for like 15 years, right? Who was like on the bench. He could play any outfield position. He could be off for a week and go in. And like, I'd rather them be that, like well-rounded, like ready to play and like think about the long play
mm-hmm.
rather than like be Derek Jeter because no one gets to be Derek Jeter.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You know, I you think know, what like, you said, you said every day we're just going to get better, you know,
1%.
And that's, yeah, let's just get a little bit better every day. And I think that's good advice. Constantine,
thank you.
We have kept you, we kept you a little bit over. So thank you very much for being here. And man, we just thank the world of you. Where can people find you on social media?
Well, yeah, at Instagram at Constantine Maroulis.
Mm-hmm.
If you just go to ConstantineMaroulis.com, the old website, all the socials are there. I'm on the road a lot. I have this touring act, Foreigner's Journey. It's Constantine Maroulis Foreigner's Journey. It's sort of an extension of Rock of Ages. It's a huge classic rock experience. I mean, we're playing like huge theaters and we're playing, starting to play a couple of arenas. It's nuts. But I have a new Broadway thing in the works. It hasn't quite been announced yet, but look for that announcement in the next month or so.
Sweet.
Between you awesome. And I, the name of the show
mm-hmm.
is Rock and Roll Man.
Okay.
And it is about the sort of origin of rock and roll, like during segregation, you know, black artists not getting played on popular radio, mm-hmm. Chuck Berry, Little Richard, and this DJ that comes along and basically just risks it all to elevate these amazing artists around him. He was a flawed guy. And it's a great show and we're excited. We're opening this summer in New York in the old theater I opened Rock of Ages in first.
Full circle,
the same theater. And then hopefully we'll transfer, in 24 mm-hmm. to the Great White Way. And I got some new tunes coming out this spring. All my original music's on Apple Music and Spotify and all that. But I'm easy to find on the socials. Man. And, I hope to see you guys at a show. And if not in New York, I'm not going to be able to make Ryan and Lexi's one-year anniversary.
I know.
How is that possible?
We're trying to make it make sense, too. Yeah, he's also an Alexa Bliss friend and Ryan Cabrera, of course. And so we got invited to their, we were both at their wedding. We got invited to their 1 year anniversary party and they've rented like a place in Hollywood and it's a shit show.
Like an 80s prom or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in LA the next week. So I'm like, but it's like when you have kids and stuff, like
exactly.
You can't just say, I'll just go a week early, bro.
Yeah. No, you can't, especially 12 years old. I mean, that's the busiest time, you know? Yeah. So, dude, you are certainly a rock star dad, Constantine, and a great dude. And man, stay in touch. And man, we'll see you soon.
Yes, I hope so. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, thanks for coming on and chatting with us.
All right. Peace and love. Peace and love.
This is a song for my friends, Jared and Gary. They started a podcast and said a theme was necessary. They're just a couple of guys in a band that you know. Some rock star dads who started a show. Until the next episode.